Father, as we look at your word this morning, I pray that you would open up your heart to your people. Father, I pray that your people who are gathered here, people who do not yet call on your name maybe, will see your heart and will see your passion for people. They will see your posture. And we will be changed because we have seen you. We have seen how much you care and how much you listen and how much you love. And may your name be praised above all, throughout all the nations, in Jesus' name, amen. I want to start off by inviting one of my sons up here. Isaac, would you come on up? You guys want to welcome him? He gets kind of nervous. I just want to invite you to feel something with me, okay? I'm not going to say anything, but I just want you to pretend that this my son is here, and I am standing right here involved in a conversation with him. What do you feel like? I'm going to ask you questions, and I don't know how it works here, but maybe if you talk back, it'd be great. So what does that feel like when I stand there like that with him? What do you think is going on? Huh? Intimidation. Okay. What else?
Overpowering.
All right. What else? Awkward. What else?
Burdensome.
Burdensome. Okay. Interesting. What else? I can't hear.
You're greater.
I'm greater. Okay. Thank you so much. What's your name? We should be friends. Yeah. Anything else?
Discipline.
Okay. What do you feel when I stand over you like that? Did you see what he did when I stood over him like that? Did you see he looked up and he moved away from me? What any feelings that you want to share? What does it feel like?
Weird.
Okay, weird. He's the son of a youth pastor. He's just weird, awkward, I don't know. Okay, any others? What does it feel like if you see me standing over my son like this? It's uncomfortable. Okay, does it change anything? You want to give me a hug right now, don't you? Yeah, I know. I saw that. Now, what is that? What does it feel like to see me like this with my son?
Oh.
What else? What does it feel like to see me sit like that with my son? What? Okay, like, hey, we might actually talk, like, back and forth. Okay, what else?
Caring.
Now, I noticed something when I looked at you guys. You guys all started smiling when I sat down. Before, you're like, I don't know what's going to happen. Because when somebody stands over us like that, we don't know what's going to happen. That's uncomfortable. It's awkward. We don't know what's going on. But when I sat down like this, do you see them? They were all like, oh, they're so happy. Everybody's so happy. No, really. What else? What does it feel like if I sit down like this?
Friendship.
Oh, the father and the son. Really? Friendship. Anything else?
It's more like there's a conversation going to happen, not you telling him.
Okay, yeah. It's not me talking to him. It's like a conversation back and forth. Do you want to say, does it feel different if I sit like this? Was that? Did I tell you to say that?
No.
Okay, I didn't tell him to say that, for the record. Okay, thank you, Isaac. I appreciate that. So posture matters a lot. I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything to him when I was standing above him. And I didn't say anything to him when I was sitting down next to him. But it changed things tremendously for you, didn't it? It changed things for him, too. Did you see that? When I was standing above him, even without saying anything, even without a scowl, I mean, I wasn't making an angry face. I was just standing and leaning over him. And he did what all of us would do, and that is move away, back away, leave, get as much safety as you can. And when I sat down next to him, I could tell, he's in front of people, so whatever, but I could tell he was more leaning in. If we would have been at home, he would have been like, pound it, you know, like, give me a hug or something. All right. All right, so we're in Psalm 116. But I don't like reading the scripture without feelings because God wants us to love him with all of our mind. Absolutely true, and we should.
But he wants us to love him with all of our hearts as well. And he loves us the same way. So, two big questions that I want to ask you this morning. What is the posture of God towards you? What is the posture of God towards you? And what is your posture towards others? Because what you think about the posture of God matters a whole lot. It changes everything in your life. What you believe about the posture of God towards you changes everything. Do you see him as leaning forward or over you, pointing a finger at you, ready to pronounce judgment? Do you see him leaning back, disinterested, watching TV, not caring? Do you see him with you? It changes everything. Let's look at Psalm 116 again. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. This is a New Living Translation. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayer for mercy. Because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. Death wrapped its ropes around me. The terrors of the grave overtook me. I saw only trouble and sorrow. And then I called on the name of the Lord. Please, Lord, save me. How kind the Lord is, how good he is, so merciful, this God of ours. The Lord protects those of childlike faith. I was facing death, and he saved me. Let my soul be at rest again, for the Lord has been good to me. He has saved me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. And so, I walk in the Lord's presence as I live here on earth. And I want to ask, what kind of a God does this? What kind of a God inclines his ear? Some versions say inclines his ear, which still is showing a posture of listening, or bends down to listen, as this version says. What other God pays close attention? Most gods require a journey to a mountain or to a holy place. Most gods stay in their Olympus unless judgment must be meted out. One commentary says that it's like God is doing this. It's like God is bowing down from his grandeur to attend to my prayer. The figure seems to be, and this is, I'm quoting a commentary, this figure seems to be that of a tender physician or a loving friend leaning over a sick man whose voice is faint and scarcely audible, so as to catch every accent, every whisper. When our prayer is very feeble, so that we ourselves can scarcely hear it, we question whether we do pray or not, yet God bows a listening ear and regards our supplications. Wow. The posture of God. Have you ever seen a doctor in a room far away from the patient? Yeah. In fact, in medical school in the United States, they teach doctors to stand next to the patient and touch the patient, to show the patient that they care, to be close, to lean in. This is the posture of our God. Finish this sentence for me. I love God because... What comes to mind? How do you finish that sentence? I love God because... He loves me. Who the first thing that comes to mind... raise your hand if the first thing that came to your mind was because he loves me. Or because he loves me first. Yeah, okay. That's not a wrong answer. I don't think. Yeah, it's good. The psalmist here, in this case, he feels okay saying, because he bends down to listen to me, I love him. And that's a bit different. And when I realize this, I don't just love God because he loved me. As the psalmist says here, because he bends down to listen to me, I love him. Because he hears me and cares about me, I will pray as long as I have breath. In other words, I love him and I pray to him because he is awesome, and because he is different, and because he actually cares. So I love him. God not only hears your prayer, this is what's so cool. God not only hears your prayer, my prayer, he hears your voice. And there's a difference. He hears your voice. He hears you. Not just some list of words. Not like he's just reading a transcript or the written text of what you're saying to him. It's not just some list of words that are strung together in a form of adoration or petition or whatever. He's near enough to hear your voice. And he's loving enough to care. And that's amazing. This God that we serve descends. He bends down to listen, to hear you. He's not a distant, aloof father who requires his children to speak up and, for goodness sake, enunciate. Oh, someone's heard that before. He bends down to love you. This is your God. He's not a God hidden away in a holy place, high on a hill. He is not a God sulking behind a giant curtain in a temple, coldly demanding allegiance, or else. He is a God who takes that temple curtain, he takes that holiness, and he wraps it around himself, his own flesh and blood and bones, and joins you. And, wonder of wonders, he wraps you up in that holiness too, covering your worthlessness and my worthlessness, and calling you worthy. Worthy of his affection. Worthy of his friendship. Worthy of his love. Even worthy of his dance. This is a God worth knowing. And this is a God worth loving. This is the posture of God. I want to get personal for a second and ask you to really ponder that. When you imagine the posture of God, do you see him towering over you? God's posture towards you should be your posture towards others. And as we're going to switch gears a little bit, we ask the question, what is God's posture towards you, but also what is your posture towards others? And I want to communicate today that I believe that God's posture towards me, I should copy that, and that should be my posture towards others. So, do you regularly pause and listen to people? What is your posture towards the Cambodians that you work with? Or the coworkers that you work among? What is your posture towards people? Would those closest to you say that you really listen? Not so you can teach. Not that you listen so that you can correct. You can listen closely to someone in order to correct them. That's not what I'm talking about. To really listen. Not so you can argue with them. Would your spouse say that you really listen? Would your children say that you really listen? Now, sometimes we think that to listen to somebody is to agree with them, and that's entirely not true. But do you listen? What is your posture towards people? Genesis chapter 16 tells a story we're very familiar with, and I think there's a key in this story for us as we imagine the posture of God and also our posture towards people. It's the story of Hagar. In Genesis 16. You know the story. Sarah, or Sarai at the time, wants a baby from Hagar. Desperately wants a baby. Abram at the time, takes Hagar. Hagar gets pregnant. Hagar begins to hate Sarah, mock Sarah. This is personal. This is very, very personal. I can have a baby and you can't. Ha, ha, ha. I have your husband. Sarah begins to hate Hagar and abuse her. And Abraham lets her. Abraham says, he doesn't intervene. In fact, he just says, Sarah, she's your servant. Do whatever. Oh. She's got Abraham's baby. Oh, Hagar runs away. Hagar is pregnant, she's not married, she was a former slave, she is used up. And the angel of the Lord finds Hagar and says, "Where have you come from? And where are you going?" Just that's it. Where have you come from? and where are you going? And I believe that if we as a people began to really ask those questions to the people in our life, it would change the world. We really cared enough to sit with somebody and ask the question, where have you come from? And where are you going? In other words, where have you come from? I care where you've been. I care about your story. Your story is what has made you who you are now. Where have you come from? And where are you going? What are your hopes? What are your dreams? When you imagine the future, what do you see? What do you imagine? It may be hopeful. It may be disastrous. But I want to hear it. Where are you going? We don't have time to get into all the detail of this story in Genesis, but it's worth noting that at the end of this conversation, Hagar has a very different relationship with God. It's extremely different. It's dramatically changed. In verse 13, the scriptures say, "Thereafter, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord." Something dramatically shifted in this woman's life. And thereafter, she called God by a different name. She said, "You are the God who sees me." She also said, "Have I truly seen the one who sees me?" Wow. When we feel cared for, when we feel listened to, when we feel heard, something shifts inside of us too. Have you ever experienced that? Let me back up just a sec. Have you ever been with somebody who you knew wasn't listening to you? That's a terrible feeling. Have you been on the flip side where you're sitting with someone and maybe they don't agree with you, maybe you know that, but maybe you really feel like they are listening to you. They are with you. Do you know that feeling? That's a very different feeling. Something shifts. I do some pastoral counseling and I've seen this happen with clients and I know, whoa, they may have no one else in their life who has ever just sat and cared. Where are you coming from? What's your story? What was your family like? I want to know about you. And where are you going? Where do you want to go? I mean, I'm going to give some counsel. I'm going to speak the truth when the time comes. But I really want to know, where are you going? Where do you want to go? Because I care about you. And the light on people's face when they feel heard, it's astounding. But I don't see it very often because most of us don't take the time to sit and really listen with somebody and say, where have you come from? And where are you going? Because to have that dialogue means that I sit down next to a person instead of standing above them. We need to care about past stories and future hopes. And if we spend the time to listen to people like this, I really believe that they will know that we serve a God who sees. And I believe that if we have that type of posture towards people, people will see the posture of God towards them. And people need to see the posture of God towards them. So, let's wrap it up. Remember the posture of God. Remember the King who descends, the Father who sings over you. Remember that He loved you even before you accomplished anything. He loved you. And remember to take that same posture with others. I believe that great healing will come in our relationships, in our marriages, in our ministries, in our families, if we will slow down long enough, if we will pause long enough, if we will bend down to listen, remembering the posture of God towards us and copying that posture as we interact with the people around us in our lives and in our ministries. Well, I'm going to end by just reading the first couple verses of Psalm 116, and then we'll just transition straight into the discussion questions. Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2. I love the Lord because He hears my voice. And my prayer for mercy, because He bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath.